Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on bouncing a kick weight with macro controls for jungle and old school DNB vibes. Today we're going to build a kick that can move with the track instead of staying stuck as one fixed hit. That's a big deal in drum and bass, because the kick isn't just a drum sound, it's part of the whole groove engine. It needs to hit hard, leave room for the bass, and sometimes get a little dirtier or heavier depending on the section. The goal here is not to make the kick huge and boomy. The goal is to make it controllable. We want a kick that can feel tighter in an intro, heavier in a drop, rougher in a jungle passage, and cleaner again when the mix needs space. That's what makes this useful for DJ tools style production too, because you can automate it, perform it live, or resample it into different versions. So let's start simple. First, choose a kick that already works well for DNB. You want something with a clear attack and a short tail. If you're browsing samples, look for a kick with either a strong low fundamental or a punchy body in the low mids. Around 45 to 60 Hz can work for the deepest part, or around 90 to 120 Hz if it has more punch than sub. Avoid long boomy kicks at this stage, because they can get in the way of the bass later. If you want more control, you can also make a kick with operator or use a sample inside a drum rack. For beginners, either one is fine. The important thing is that the kick is separate from the snare and hat so you can process it on its own. Now we're going to build a basic kick chain using stock Ableton devices. Add EQ8 first, then add saturator, then drum bus, and if you want, add compressor after that. Here's a good starting point. With EQ8, use a very gentle high pass only if you need it, around 20 to 30 Hz, just to clean up rumble. If the kick feels muddy, try a small cut somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz. If it needs more body, give it a little bump around 90 to 120 Hz, but keep it subtle. We want shape, not a giant low-end boost. On saturator, start with a drive setting around 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. This adds harmonic weight, which is especially useful in jungle and old-school DNB because a little dirt can actually read as more energy. On drum bus, keep the drive moderate, maybe around 5 to 15%. Use crunch carefully, because it can get aggressive fast. And if the top end becomes too sharp, use damp only as needed. If you're using compressor, try a ratio between 2 to 1 and 4 to 1. Set the attack somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds so the front of the kick can still punch through. Release can sit around 50 to 120 milliseconds depending on the groove. You only want a few dB of gain reduction on the loud hits. At this point, you've got a basic kick that already has some shape. Now we make it macro controlled. Group the devices into an audio effect rack, or use a drum rack if your kick is already inside one. Then open macro map mode and start assigning useful controls. Map saturator drive to one macro. Call that macro weight. You can also map a low shelf or a small bell boost in EQ weight around 90 to 120 Hz to the same macro, so when you turn it up, the kick gets a little fuller and more physical. If you want, you can also map drum bus drive to that same weight macro. That gives you one knob that adds body and harmonic density. Next, map compressor threshold to a second macro. Call that punch. This one can change how open or controlled the kick feels. A little movement here goes a long way. Then map a gentle high cut or some top end reduction to a third macro called darkness. This is great for making the kick feel more underground or more vintage without changing the low end too much. If you want a fourth macro, map utility gain to level, so you can trim the output and keep your overall loudness under control. The important thing is to keep these ranges sensible. You do not want one macro to completely wreck the kick. You want small, musical changes that feel like performance moves. Now for the fun part. Bounce. To create the bounce feel, make a parallel layer or a second chain inside the rack. Keep chain as your clean kick. Then build chain B as a dirtier, heavier version. On chain B, add EQ8 and saturator. If you want even more character, you can add a tiny bit of redux, but use it very carefully. The point is to add texture, not obvious lo-fi crunch unless that's the exact vibe you want. Make chain B darker than the main kick. You can low-pass at around 2 to 6 kHz if the click gets too sharp. Add a bit more saturator drive, maybe 4 to 8 dB. If you use redux, keep it subtle, just enough to roughen the edge. Now map the volume of chain B to a macro called bounce. This is the heart of the lesson. When bounce is low, you mostly hear the clean kick. When bounce goes up, the dirtier parallel layer comes in and the kick feels thicker, more aggressive, and more alive. That's the kind of movement that works really well in jungle and old school DNB, because it creates the feeling that the drum is changing shape with the arrangement. Next, let's make sure the kick still punches without fighting the bass. For DNB, the kick and base have to cooperate. The kick should own the short attack and body, and the base should own the sustained low end. So add a bass line under the kick, even if it's just a simple sub or a roller bass for now. Then check the mix in mono using utility. If the kick disappears in mono, it may be too close to the sub zone. If the whole low end gets muddy, cut a little around 200 to 350 Hz from either the kick or the bass. If the kick sounds great by itself, but weak in the mix, it probably needs a bit more low mid body or better transient shape. This is one of the most important beginner lessons in DNB. Trust the mix context, not solo mode. A kick that sounds huge alone is not always the kick that works best with the bass and break. Now let's automate the macros across that arrangement. A simple way to think about it is like this. In the intro, keep the kick leaner, lower bounce, reduce weight a little, and maybe keep the tone cleaner. That gives DJs more room to mix. As you move toward the drop, slowly increase weight and bounce. You can even push punch a little right before the drop for extra impact. On the drop, open the kick up more fully. Let it feel thicker, dirtier, and more energetic. In a breakdown, pull weight and bounce down again so the section feels lighter and more spacious. Then when the track returns, bring the macros back up for that impact moment. This is exactly why macro movement matters in drum and bass. The listener feels the kick opening and closing over time, which creates energy without needing to just make everything louder. A really good teacher tip here. Think of the macro like a performance fader, not just a tone knob. Small moves are powerful. You do not need huge sweeps for it to feel effective. In jungle and old school DNB, tiny changes often sound more musical than dramatic ones. If the kick starts to feel too modern or too polished, back off some of the pristine top end and let the mid body carry more of the character. A little roughness can actually make the kick feel more vintage and more authentic. And if you want an even more old school approach, once the kick movement sounds good, resample it. Record a few bars of the automated kick to a new audio track. Then listen back and see if the kick feels more alive in the drop than it did in the intro. You can chop that resampled audio into fills, use it in transitions, or layer it under the original for extra attitude. This is a classic workflow in jungle-style production because it gives you that printed, committed feel. If you want to push the idea further, you can also create versioned kick states. One state can be clean for intros. One can be standard for drops. And one can be gritty for heavier jungle moments. You can do that with macro ranges, arrangement automation, or even live knob moves if you're performing the track. Before we wrap up, let's quickly go over the biggest beginner mistakes. Don't make the kick too boomy. That usually causes more problems than it solves. Don't let the kick fight the sub. In DNB, clarity beats raw size. Don't overdrive the saturator. A little drive goes a long way. Don't map too many unrelated things to one macro. Keep the movement focused, and don't judge the kick only in solo. Always check it with the bass and the break. Here's a quick practice challenge for you. Load a kick into a drum rock or auto track. Add EQ8, saturator, and drum bus. Map one macro to the kick's weight controls. Create a parallel dirty chain and map its level to a bounce macro. Then program an 8-bar DNB loop with a simple drum pattern and a sub bass. Automate bounce so it starts low and rises across the loop. Check it in mono, make one EQ adjustment, then resample the result and listen back. Your goal is simple. Make the kick feel like it has movement and attitude, not just volume. So remember the core idea from this lesson. In drum and bass, a great kick is not only loud, it's controlled, shaped, and animated. That's how you get bounce, weight, and old-school jungle character in Ableton Live 12.